Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Well, we've got a guy who is dressed up to be with us today. It's not Happy the Clown. He's in his official legal barrister suit.
That's right.
That you don't see him in very often, but he wore it in honor of being on this program today.
I did. You're exactly right.
His name is Chad Eccles. He is the proud owner of the Eccles Law Firm. They're in business for 10 years, and the reason he's on this program is because of the unique service that they provide. It's not really a local service per se. It's one that involves debt collection, representing debt collection agencies. Is that about right?
Yes, that's correct. I've been lucky enough to have a long, and my entire legal career, I've been working with Williams & Fudge in town, and that's what's led to representing entities right. like theirs across the country. I came back to Rock Hill. My parents were heavily involved in civic stuff, obviously.
Really?
In town.
Are you related to that guy who used to be called Doug?
I am.
Oh, okay.
I'm related to both of them, and so I thought coming home would help me build a local practice. And the reality is, and I've been very lucky, but my practice has, other than Williams & Fudge, has very little to do with the town of Rock Hill.
So let's start, Chad, with some background on you, if you would. We know that you are the proud son of Sylvia and Doug Eccles.
I am.
A former mayor.
Absolutely.
20 years in the job.
They set a standard that's quite high for being involved around here and trying to make a difference and being a part of everything that's going on in Rock Hill. It's an exciting time, and you know, I'm proud that both of them were you know, part of laying the foundation for some of the things that are going on today.
You know, it's amazing. I've told this story 100 times to people who are new to the community. Like I was when I came here in 1984, and we had this textile industry that had gone upside down. And those who were in leadership responsibilities, positions of responsibility, said, you know, we're going to have to rebirth this city so we don't get into this again. And a lady by the name of Betty Jo Ray started it with Empowering the Vision. And she did it for many, many, many years. And then when your dad succeeded her, he continued with it. And I've forgotten what all the names were for all the different things. But they had a vision, they had a plan, and look where we are today.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think we're at the jumping off point for so many things that, you know, we had to plant the seeds, but, boy, we're about to see a lot of fruit here in the next, you know, decade.
Yeah, we dumped a lot of fertilizer.
That's exactly right. A lot of time, a lot of effort.
But it's 25 or 30 years of work that people don't understand who are just new here. What's happening in downtown, which is basically close to $1 billion worth of construction, represents countless hours, countless amounts of money by numerous people who are paid to do that, but citizens who drove the whole agenda. And it was like one step forward, four steps back. It took a long time.
It did. Through ups and downs and different, you know, national economic hurdles. And the reality is, I think that Rock Hill does an exceptional job of public-private partnerships where, you know, municipal government plays a role and private citizens play a key role, and we're able to do some fantastic things.
Yep. All right, so we all know that you went to Clemson University. You have
the
only Volkswagen bus that's painted orange. Where did you get that thing?
My bus I got from a guy who it was his fourth one he'd redone out in Oregon. And I was laying in bed. I was scrolling on my iPad looking at Volkswagen buses. I'd been doing it for years. And one night my wife, Anna, said, look, if you want one of those things, just get one. And so I started looking in earnest for it and found one and had it shipped over here. And my family and I really enjoyed. You can't really drive a Volkswagen bus and frown. And people wave at you all the time like they couldn't be happier. So I love it. I've really enjoyed having that.
Is it a camper?
It is. It's a Westfalia camper conversion. We've taken all four of us have been camping in it. We've taken it to the Carolina Cup. We've tailgated at Clemson in it. It's been a blast. It's a lot of fun.
All right. So you went to law school where?
I went to South Carolina for law school.
All right.
After going to Clemson.
And you immediately came back up here to start your practice?
I did. First, after law school, I clerked for Judge John Hayes for a year. That was a wonderful experience.
I bet.
And then I started my venture into the debt collection industry because Sarah Lynn Hayes, John Hayes' wife, asked if I would bartend a Boys and Girls Club event. And a number of things I learned at Clemson in law school, bartending was one of them. So I said, sure, I'll be happy to do that. Gary Williams approached me at the bar and asked what I was doing after I finished clerking. And I didn't have my plans set. I had a number of resumes out and things like that. And his business, Williams & Fudge, was getting sophisticated enough where they were starting to believe that having counsel regularly available would be a good idea. And so he said, I'd like to talk to you about being our lawyer. And he sat down at the table with his executives and said, I found our lawyer. And I said, well, who is it? And he says, the bartender. See him out there? And they said, well, I don't think you should hire a bartender. And he said, well, he's a lawyer, too. And so I met with Gary and Bob Perrin shortly thereafter, and they extended me an offer. And so I became in-house counsel with Williams & Fudge for a few years, which was instrumental in really understanding how a company in the debt collection space works. Sitting at the management table, knowing how the technology works, understanding all that, I think has been the cornerstone of my ability and the firm's ability to represent other debt collection agencies across the country.
So the Eccles Law Firm has got you and how many other attorneys?
I have three other lawyers that work with me and staff.
Been open 10 years now.
Been open 10 years in October, yep.
So all the attorneys, all four of you, and your staff do nothing but this specialty.
That's right. We have each lawyer that works with me is kind of siloed to a group of clients. So that client has a primary contact who's a lawyer and a paralegal that, other than me. And then I oversee their work and work directly with the clients for, you know, particular projects or cases. But I have a number of clients that are assigned to each of the lawyers. And we do a lot of their compliance work, advising them how to stay compliant in a very big patchwork of federal and state legislation and regulation, and then we defend them in federal court when they're sued all across the country.
So you, I would imagine, have to spend a lot of your time just staying on top of, I guess, the Federal Register, reading all the new little nuances and rules and regs?
Well, it's interesting because it's really a cat and mouse game with the consumer lawyers. They bring very technical. The Fair Debt Collection Practices Act is the primary law that governs the debt collection industry. And it is what's called a strict liability statute, and it has statutory damages. So it's a very easy law to bring a lawsuit under. And so there are a group of lawyers across the country that sue agencies regularly under that act. So we're constantly figuring out new theories of defense to assist our clients. And then there is a huge new regulatory change going into effect November 30th that will alter how a lot of debt collection takes place. And so we are currently spending a great deal of time advising our client base on how to get compliant with those regulations.
So when the new regulation comes out, and from which department does it come from? Consumer Affairs?
No, it was the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, oversaw the FDCPA for years, but they did not have rulemaking authority. When the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau was created after the mortgage crisis, the Dodd-Frank Act, they became the agency that oversaw the FDCPA and for the first time had rulemaking authority. These are the first rules and regulations implementing the FDCPA. Now, the law was passed in 78, so it doesn't even address any of modern technology. And so part of it is how do you send an email or send a text when the law from 78 didn't contemplate those communication channels. And so some of the regulations are trying to bring up to speed and up to date that law.
So when these changes come and you figure out what they actually mean, then you need to get with your clients and say, okay, here's another new regulation in terms of how your debt collectors have to handle themselves on phone calls and how they make the phone calls. I mean, I talked to a few of the people that work at Williams and Fudge. It's interesting. I had no idea that when you pick up the phone and you call, say you call me to collect a debt, and I say I don't want to talk to you, that's the end of it. They can't really do a whole lot.
No, it is highly regulated. I recently did an interview with South Carolina Public Radio dealing with the eviction moratorium associated with the coronavirus and the pandemic, and you know, just talking through that particular interviewer's thoughts about the debt collection industry and my personal experience over the 19 years I've been practicing law and the 10 years of having the Eccles firm is my clients are working tirelessly to do this in a manner that is compliant with the law. It is extraordinarily difficult. Different states have different requirements. And so, you know, you may be calling into Massachusetts and you have to say one thing, but then your next call is into Utah and you have to say something else because of those states having specific rules. So it's very complex, and it's all driven by updated software and technology. You know, phone calls are recorded, they're audited. It's highly complex.
Gee,
yeah. It's something.
So if a debt collector calls me,
right,
and I elect to have a conversation with them, they are recording that conversation?
Almost always now the calls are recorded.
But they have to tell me they're doing that.
They do. And typically they will say what is ubiquitous in the financial services world of this call is being recorded for quality assurance.
Right.
When you continue to have that conversation, you're aware of that recording. And we found, again, that recording the calls is a huge help for our defense because the consumer lawyer or the consumer may say, you know, this person was really mean to me on the phone and it was really bad conversation. And we'll pull the recording. And the person was a customer service call. They could not have been more appropriate. And we provide that to the lawyer and say, actually, here's how this call went with Mr. Kimmel. And they say, oh, okay. I mean, it helps us defend our cases when we have the evidence to support our position.
I shudder to think. I mean, you represent how many firms like Williams and Fudge across the country?
We probably regularly represent about 20, but we do almost all the defense work. Well, that's not accurate. We do a lot of the defense work in the Carolinas for any number of agencies across the country, large debt buyers, credit card issuers. So when they're sued in North Carolina, South Carolina, where I'm barred and my lawyers are barred, we actually defend those clients just in, you know, one-off or two-off cases. But our primary client base is about 20 agencies similar to Williams and Fudge, not all in higher ed. They collect majority higher ed debt, but different types of markets, telecom, all sorts of things.
So with every call being recorded with a person's permission, what percentage of the time are you able to pull that call and just have the judge throw it out because what somebody represented was just not accurate?
Well, this may interest some people, or people will find it interesting. Most of the time, it never even goes to the judge. We have such working relationships with the lawyers that sue my clients. We deal with them so often, just because of the volume of litigation, that we'll know the lawyer and we'll say, hey, so and so, here's the call that you're talking about, and here's where our client followed the law. And they will often, because we've worked with them in the past, say, okay, I understand, we'll talk to our client. You know, if there is a problem, technical or otherwise, then we may resolve the case. But it's the volume of it, it doesn't even sometimes even get necessarily all the way to the judge because we've worked with these lawyers with some regularity.
Saves everybody time and money.
It does. I mean, the goal is efficient and effective representation. The goal is not to necessarily go to the mat so that the lawyers look good. The goal is to solve the problem for the client as fast as possible, whatever that problem is.
So when you pull the call, let's turn it around, and you find out the person representing your client was a jerk to the person they were trying to collect the debt from, you tell your client, we need to figure out a way to solve this thing?
Yeah, I mean, we will resolve problems. I would say that the thing I would caution is that very rarely is it because someone was overly aggressive on the call.
Right.
More often than not, it'll be a technical violation of the FDCPA. For instance, they forgot to say this communication is from a debt collector in this attempt to collect a debt. Just because they're making, you know, 100, 150 calls a day, they didn't say it on that one. That is a technical violation. We may decide to resolve that rather than fighting it. So more often than not, the resolutions are based upon technical issues with the law rather than some sort of egregious activity.
So what happens if there is no recording of the call and something like this happens? Somebody brings an allegation against your client. I mean, it's against he said, she said type of
it
thing?
It is, yeah. It's a he said, she said. The FDCPA is a fee-shifting statute, so the beneficiaries are often the lawyers, which I know doesn't surprise people, and can be very frustrating to my clients and usually to consumers, because you may have a case, a he said, she said case, and you really don't want to litigate that to a jury because the consumer may win and get $1,000. The lawyer then would put in a request to the court for $50,000 in legal fees for going that far. And so there's a lot of incentive based upon the business reality of the cost of paying, for instance, my firm to go to the mat, or the cost that you might have to pay to the other side. So it is unfortunately an area of the law that is driven often by attorney's fees.
You know, this thing that we all carry around in our pocket called an iPhone, I have to think that that probably has just spun up the activity level of lawsuits like you can't imagine. Because everybody can get on there and say, guess what I did? I just so did that, bad. And everybody out there says, well, maybe I'll do the same thing.
It is. It has been probably a number of things have coalesced to create a situation where we've been able to have a successful law firm for 10 years. But one of the things is certainly the iPhone and other smartphones, because many times consumers get contacted by a collection entity, and then they look up the number. And instead of getting the collection entity's website, they'll get any number of consumer lawyers saying, are these people bothering you? We can help you out. It won't cost you anything. And then you're off and running in this kind of whack-a-mole process of trying to stamp out the problems across the country. And, you know, it really is. There are times where we fight hard. I mean, we've had cases in the last few years. We've had cases go to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals, to the 2nd Circuit Court of Appeals in New York. We're right now in litigation suing the South Carolina Attorney General for a client out of Colorado trying to have a statute in South Carolina set aside as unconstitutional. So there are other bigger fights that happen in this space, but the run-of-the-mill collection lawsuit is often based upon a cell phone Google search and then an online retention of a national consumer firm that then brings an action or threatens an action against the agency.
So I have to think that part of what you do as you read all these regulations and see how they're really panning out is you must have dialogue with people, let's say, at the state level or maybe at the federal level, like a Ralph Norman, to say, you know what, this regulation X122 makes absolutely no sense at all. And let me tell you what this thing is doing. I mean, is that part of what you have to do?
Well, 100%. So we've done that in a number of ways. At times I've represented, for instance, I represented the North Carolina section of the Association of Credit and Collection Professionals where we tried to negotiate with the Department of Insurance in North Carolina, which oversees the collection industry there. But then also we do things. David Williams, who I know you've interviewed recently at Waves of Fudge, he's going to be participating at the end of October in a fly-in where they go to D.C. and some of the higher, more influential people in the industry go on Capitol Hill and lobby and talk to any number of legislators and congressmen and women about what is going on.
Just the way any trade association, broadcasters included,
absolutely
do it every year.
Yeah.
And if you don't make a lot of noise, the problem's going to stay there. So
it is, and they have a good story to tell. The collection industry is an important part of the economy, and my experience is they are trying extremely hard in a very difficult environment to do it well. It is different than I think the national perspective, at least in my experience.
You know, this would get into a political discussion that I really don't want it to get into, but I think this world that we live in today, where people have been shuttered at home, we have the government paying for all kinds of things that they never used to pay for. I just think that we've exasperated the atmosphere that existed before in terms of debt and how debt is handled. I think there's too many people out there just don't give a rip about the debt. Somebody else will take care of it.
I think Americans, all of us, we have an insatiable willingness to take on consumer debt, and people believe that they deserve things, whatever those things are. And so I could tell you a funny story.
Go ahead.
About 2 minutes. So when I was working, when I first stopped working at Williams & Fudge, but I'm still their general counsel and outside general counsel and have been for years, I was driving a little tiny car called a Mitsubishi Lancer. And I told collectors over there, if you ever need a lawyer, you can call me as long as it doesn't have to do with Williams & Fudge. And I'll get you, if you need a will, if you need to close on a home, if you need a divorce attorney, whatever, I'll refer you. So this guy calls me up from over there, he's a collector, and he said, Chad, I've got a problem. And I said, what is it? And he said, well, I'm getting collected on. And I said, well, that's not good.
A collector getting collected on?
Yeah, I said, let's talk about it. And so he said, well, you know, I said, what are your debts? And he named them. It was all just classic consumer debts, you know. And I said, you don't have an income problem. You got an outflow problem. You're spending too much. You need to spend less and pay these debts off. And he said, man, I know you're telling me the truth. I've seen that car you drive. So I think I went home and told Anna, I said, I need to get a new car. So he thought I was frugal based upon my vehicle I was driving.
A.K.A. cheap,
and,
right?
You know, I said to him, I said, you know what? I got the title to that car in my safe deposit box. So the answer is yes. But it was a funny story because I never thought about that perspective of that I was meeting my obligations by driving that vehicle. But, you know, it's true.
But you made an observation before we went on the air that even when times are good, people are just piling on the debt at a faster rate than they pile it on when times aren't good.
Yeah. Yeah. When they pile it on, I mean, and the statistics support this. They pile it on when it's good, and when it's bad, enormous amounts roll into default. And all of these market verticals, telecom, utilities, you know, gym debts like Planet Fitness and Gold's Gym, or, you know, auto finance, all of it comes due and people default. And enormous amounts of that are sent to collection agencies to try to assist in the recovery of that debt. It is a big industry.
Yeah. All right, we got to take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us today, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road to Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Now, Chad Eccles needs no instruction on what we're going to do now. We're going to remind you about fresh subs and salads being prepared 6 days a week here at Substation 2 between 10 a.m. and 8 p.m. The magical formula for doing it at the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Hey, Alex, have you tried that new pastrami on rye at Substation 2?
You're darn right I have, and you should too. It's freshly sliced, lean, delicious, served hot, and piled high. And I understand you better hurry because it's a limited time offer.
Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
When your health needs attention, you'll find compassionate care at Piedmont Medical Center. We make it convenient to treat emergencies with online check-in and locations in Rock Hill and Fort Mill. Or if you live with a heart condition, our cardiologists provide advanced treatment options to help you live better. And for pain that slows you down, a minimally invasive surgery can help speed you on to recovery. We are your community built on care.
PiedmontMedicalCenter.com.
Save on your monthly mortgage payment with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage from Founders Federal Credit Union. Take advantage of low rates while they're still around, and you'll also have no private mortgage insurance costs. The application process is easy, and your mortgage is serviced completely by Founders and always stays with us. Relax, you're home. For more, visit foundersfcu.com/30. Membership qualification required. Credit evaluation, underwriting requirements, terms and conditions apply. Institutions, NMLS identifier number 410646.
These days, everybody wants peace of mind. Some people do yoga. Some meditate. Me? I use Ready Home Security from Comporium. Ready Home lets me monitor my house, even when I'm hundreds of miles away. With Ready Home, I can use my phone or tablet to set my alarm, turn on lights, lock the doors, even control my thermostat. Yoga's great, but knowing that everything's great at home, now that's peace of mind. That's Ready Home. To learn more about Ready Home, visit Comporium.com or call 888-403-2667.
Have you been personally managing your investment account? Are you happy with your results? Maybe you should consider hiring a genuine money manager. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see how they can help you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or online at AndersonGriggs.com.
Water, fire, mold, and storms cause property damage every day. When it happens to you, it's no time for second best. That's why insurance professionals trust the locally owned and family-run Paul Davis Restoration of Rock Hill. This is Gina Rogers. Paul Davis is committed to providing extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Our team is highly qualified and trained to handle each situation with care and professionalism. When disaster strikes, call Paul Davis. We are here to help. 329-1140 or pauldavisrockhill.com.
Hey, Alex, have you tried that new pastrami on rye at Substation 2?
You're darn right I have, and you should too. It's freshly sliced, lean, delicious, served hot, and piled high. And I understand you better hurry because it's a limited time offer.
Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Chad Eccles is with us from the Eccles Law Firm, celebrating 10 years, a very specialized practice that has to do with representing clients that are in the debt collection business. Primarily, is it primarily college loans that your clients are?
Well, that's been historically Williams & Fudge's, which is the main entity around here that people know. But actually, you know, the largest sector of the industry is probably credit card collections and telecom and utilities. But student loans are often talked about because they are the largest balances typically.
So when you got into this... And that's a funny story. We might have to tell that one too. How you were introduced into the firm with Williams and Fudge. But when you got into this, you didn't know anything, and this is not something they teach in law school. So did you have to go bury your face in a bunch of regulations for 6 months before you could figure out what was what?
Absolutely. So I was when clerking for Judge Hayes. You know, we did a lot of common pleas. You know, civil trials and hearings, and then we did a lot of criminal trials and hearings, and so it was very generalized practice. But when I was hired by Williams & Fudge and went to work there, I spent, gosh, the first months, if not the first year, really just indoctrinating myself into the world of the laws and regulations that govern the debt collection industry. And I was thankful because I had that time to do it. Williams & Fudge was growing extremely fast at the time. Becoming much more sophisticated. I mean, the entity today, you know, versus when I first started there 18 years ago, it's a totally different world. But I had the time when I first started to really dive into how the industry works. And it's neat because there's really a fraternity of lawyers across the country that do exactly what I do. And when I got involved in the National Association, ACA International, I got to know the network of lawyers, the men and women in different states who do what I do. And so, you know, I have a group of clients. If they're sued in Georgia, I know who I'm calling. If they're sued in Florida, I know who I'm calling. If they're sued in Texas, I know who I'm calling. And if their clients are sued in the Carolinas, they know who they're calling. Ah. And so that's how, you know, we all have gotten to where we help each other out.
So I would imagine in this, what's that famous word, litigious society that we live in now, that you're going to expect more of the same in terms of more regulations,
I had a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old when I started the law firm. I was scared to death. My wife was wonderfully supportive. She said, "You're going to do great. This is going to be fine." Obviously, Gary Williams and the Williams family were extremely supportive of me and have been my entire career, and it's made the difference in my career without a doubt. But I was scared to death. And I remember on Thanksgiving, I just started the firm in October and November, and Thanksgiving I stayed up all night watching the Godfather series all night long, because I was just sitting there thinking, what in the world have I got myself into? But I worried for years that it was going to dry up, and the reality is it's not. The consumer lawyers that sue the collection industry, to their credit, I will give them credit, they're chameleons. They will change. I mean, they can figure out new theories of liability. If we stop one theory with good defense and good precedential case law, they are very adaptive, and they'll bring other theories. And we have these new regulations going into effect, which will, without a doubt, create a fair amount of litigation.
Well, Chad Eccles, our half hour's gone by. I've enjoyed it.
It's been fun. Very absolutely. I appreciate the invitation.
Congratulations on 10 years.
Thank you.
That's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. A reminder, fresh subs and salads 6 days a week here at Substation 2, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. The way we do it, it's really kind of special. And if you haven't been here, you don't understand it. That's why we have to tell you about it. And we make it very simple. At the count of three, how we do it here, guys. 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.